Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, where we usually are every Thursday. Keeping an eye on the weather, as right now there are tornado warnings in Wilson, Smith, Trousdale, and now Clinton counties. I know some of those are set to expire at 10:15, so we will keep you updated on those. So just be careful out there. Keep your radio on. Keep an eye to the sky as we deal with severe weather in our area. But we say hello now to Greg Wyshynski, who joins us from ESPN. And, Greg, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, man. Hope everybody stays safe out there. It sounds like some scary times happening in the skies.
Yeah, it's definitely been a rough night. It was very loud throughout the night, but we're hanging in there. But I want to start with, I guess, the big story in the National Hockey League, three away for Alex Ovechkin. He's at 892. he is very close to breaking the record that I don't think anybody ever thought would be broken.
Well, you know, first of all, it's funny he's three away. Nick Backstrom, who obviously played a huge role in him scoring so many of those goals and is currently on long-term injured reserve for the Capitals. He said the other day when we were talking to him, he's like, you have to be on alert because anytime Ovi wants to score a hat-trick, he can score a hat-trick. Well, now if he scores a hat-trick, he's got the record. So it's kind of amazing for him to be that close. You know, the unbreakable record part of this is interesting. Like, I've talked to some people who swear they always thought that the Gretzky record for goals could be caught someday. I don't know if that's true. I know my colleague John Buchagross said back in like 2010 he thought Ovechkin had a shot. I always felt that if the goals record was going to fall, it would be after they fundamentally changed the way that the NHL plays. Like if they went 4-on-4 all the time, then maybe Gretzky's goals record falls. I certainly didn't think it would happen in this era. The fact that Ovechkin's doing it with these goaltenders, this kind of defense, this kind of coaching, and this level of speed and talent in the league, that doesn't get talked enough about. Like the raw goal total is amazing, but the fact that he's done it now versus when Gretzky played, when you know goalies basically had two cigars strapped to their legs instead of pads. it's a completely different era, and for Ovechkin to do it now and to break the record now is just remarkable.
I mean, we obviously know that he's got a Hall of Fame resume, and he was going to have it well before he even got to this point of breaking this record. But where does Ovechkin now go, you know, once his career is done, when you're talking about the greats of all time? I mean, in 99, when Gretzky retired, they basically went ahead and put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, is he that status?
No, he's not that status, because you have to remember the other part of Gretzky's legacy is the fact that if you took away all the goals he ever scored and just went with assists, he'd still be the all-time points leader, which is right. One of the most insane stats maybe in sports history. His legacy is interesting because the thing about Ovi is that, you know, the totality of his game was always under fire. Like, there were times when people questioned whether or not the Capitals could win with a guy who didn't play defense well enough in Ovechkin. And when you look at this generation and you look at Crosby and you think about where Crosby is going to be in the top 10 players of all time, like, he's clearly going to be in it because the perception is that he plays a full game. Now, they play two different positions, and I think Ovechkin's job description is a little bit different than Crosby's overall. But the fact that he's not a, quote-unquote, 200-foot player, which I think he's been unfairly maligned as not being during his career, I think will probably put him on some list outside the top 10 when you think about Crosby and Gretzky and, you know, some of the defensemen that will be ahead of him too. But it's a great debate to have because we talked about this on our show, The Drop, the other day, me and Arda Ocal, and Arda's like, if you own like one of hockey's most cherished records, how the hell aren't you in the top 10? And I think there's going to be a compelling argument to be made about that.
Greg, I'm fascinated by this. So Ovi's got 892, two less of Gretzky. He's also played in two less games than Gretzky. At 1485, Gretzky did 1487. I just think there's a lot of weird things happening here. Is that a factor in Ovechkin trying to get this, you know, in the same number of games that Gretzky did? Because, it lines up perfectly.
It'd be awesome. And it is kind of remarkable, right? And I think that speaks to the incredible Russian machine that we're watching where, you know, I think a lot of us thought if he was going to get Gretzky's record, it would be with a bunch of seasons where he's scoring like 15 goals on the power play and that's it, you know, like when he's like 42 or whatever. And that's not been the case. I mean, he's put the pedal down. He had the best start of his season as far as goal scoring that he's ever had in his career at 39, which is remarkable. To do it in as many games or in fewer games than Gretzky would be just mind blowing. But the hockey gods are kind of smiling, right? You have the Gretzky games total chase, and then looming on the horizon, although I think he'll probably get it before then, the last game of the season for the Capitals is against Crosby and the Penguins. Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine he goes into that game tied with Gretzky, and like he needs one goal to break the record? He's playing Sidney Crosby in the last game of the season. I mean, that would be that'd be insane. You could put it on pay-per-view.
Well, you brought it up, Crosby. I mean, he's the second active player with goals at 619. After him is Stamkos at 578. So this is a record that, you know, we say it'll stand forever. I mean, this is going to stand for a while because there's nobody even close.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at Austin Matthews' total the other night. I mean, it's high, but, I mean, when you start extrapolating out where he is and his age, I mean, he might top out at like 600 or 700. And, you know, you've got, you know, I think if Connor McDavid ever decided he's just going to score 100 goals a season, he probably could. but he's got other things on his mind with Edmonton. We're having the same conversation we had when Gretzky broke it, you know, which is, can you even imagine somebody coming close to this total? And inevitably somebody will, and they'll come along and, you know, the conditions will be right for their style of play to fit perfectly. Maybe they have their own spot on the power play where they score over 300 goals. And someone will threaten it eventually, but it ain't going to be soon. I mean, like you said, a lot of the current players aren't going to be close. And don't forget, I mean, he's playing next year too. I mean, he doesn't retire the minute he breaks Gretzky's record. I think he's going to keep going until he tops 900 and keep on piling on from there.
Greg Wyshynski is with us here on the Chasing Big Joe show. I'm fascinated by, you know, kind of watching the West. I think you know how it's all going to shake out, and obviously we know where the Predators sit in that conversation. The East, though, this literally, there's 2 weeks left. This thing could come down to the last day, couldn't it?
It could, yeah. I mean, you have the Rangers, Montreal, Columbus. You still have Detroit hanging around. The Islanders are pretending they're hanging around, but, you know, who knows? The Maps still master them, although they've gone into a real tailspin lately. The most interesting one for me is Columbus. You know, I think if the Rangers make the playoffs, you know, they're a little bit dangerous, but there's some fundamental flaws to this team, and they feel like a team anticipating a long, painful summer of transition for that roster. You know, Detroit, listen, it'd be nice to see the Red Wings back in the playoffs, but they're not scaring anybody. And Montreal would be a great story, and I think next season is when they make the real jump, when they have this Davidoff kid coming over from the KHL, in theory. And so, like, they'd be a great story, too, and seeing Lane Hudson, who might be the rookie of the year in the playoffs, would be a lot of fun. But, I mean, you know, listen, I mean, Columbus has got the story with the Goudreau tragedy. They're a really fun team to watch. When they get that offense cranked up, man, like, they're clearly one of the teams to tune into on the streaming service to watch, because they could put 7 goals on the board without breaking a sweat. They're a lot of fun, and I'd love to see them in the playoffs. I think a Columbus-Washington series could be a lot of fun in the first round, with Columbus looking to be the giant killer again like they were against Tampa a couple of years ago. So, you know, they have some games in hand, I think, and you know, they just need to put a few wins together and hopefully get over the hump.
If the Rangers miss the playoff, does Laviolette get fired?
So that's a good question. I think so is the answer, only because of how reactionary James Dolan, the Rangers owner, can be. And I think what we're going to see this summer, you know, they've already traded away Trouba. They made the JT Miller trade in an attempt to kind of remake the attitude of the core of this team. I think Zibanejad and Kreider are both going to be two players that might not be here with New York next season. They're going to do a lot to remake the core into more of a JT Miller type team, which is why they've been like flirting with the idea of trying to make a run at Brady Tkachuk. Being outside the playoffs with this roster, with the expectations that they have, you imagine the coach pays for it with his job. I will reiterate that before he was hired and after he was hired, the name Joel Quenneville was linked to the New York Rangers. He's going to get back in the league in some way, shape, or form soon, now that Stan Bowman is the GM of the Edmonton Oilers and you know, broke the seal on one of those disgraced Blackhawks executives getting a new job. So I do wonder if ultimately it could be New York, because I know that his name has been in circulation there before.
Greg, it seems like every year during this last part of the season, one team is just firing at all guns and cylinders, whatever. And the Blues, 10 straight. Yeah. We thought we had him here last week, and the Preds scored like 0.2 after the horn went off. But can they take this into the playoffs?
I mean, essentially, are they peaking too early? That's a good question, because I don't know the answer. I mean, it's possible. It's always possible that we've got like a good solid 2 weeks, week and a half before we get to the playoffs, or even more than that, I think. Look, they're an interesting hockey team, because they were once again, as Doug Armstrong teams can be, on the precipice of selling at the deadline. It didn't manifest. You know, there was all this talk about Braden Schenn being traded to the Leafs and stuff like that. Didn't happen. They get kept together, and then, you know, eventually they start playing unbeatable hockey under Jim Montgomery, which I think is why they bought him in. Not only because they coveted him as a coach when he was fired by the Bruins, but because they knew that, you know, wherever he goes, regular season success seems to follow. And it took a while, but the Blues finally, you know, clicked in, and everybody's playing well, and they're beating teams in a variety of ways. It's interesting in the West. There's still a chance that Dallas could jump up and take the top seed in the conference, which would probably be good for them to avoid Colorado in the first round, especially if all of a sudden Gabe Landeskog is back for the Avalanche and they get that kind of lift. But whoever plays the Blues in the first round, I mean, that's going to be a real tough first-round series. They're a difficult team to play, and obviously we know from Four Nations that when Jordan Binnington is locked in, he could be one of the best goalies in this league.
Real quick, Greg, on the coaches again, you know, when the season comes to an end, if guys like Peter Laviolette, we already know that John Tortorella is going to be available, and then even somebody like Mike Sullivan, if those three are out there, are those guys still at that point where a team might make a coaching move that they wouldn't have made 2 weeks before, knowing that they could get a Stanley Cup winning coach?
That's a good question. I mean, like, at this point, what is the value of Peter Laviolette? Like, he's bounced around right. A little bit. He didn't have success in Washington. He didn't have success in New York. Tortorella, I mean, is a very unique brand of whimsy. If you want to bring him into your organization, you know what you're getting. And again, the bloom came off the rose a little bit in Philly, where normally he goes into a situation and the goalies get better, even if they're terrible. But in this case, they just stayed terrible. Sullivan's a different situation, just because I think he's got the prestige of what he did with the Penguins. But he also has a very unique financial situation and the money that's owed to him on a contract extension that might not even have started yet, I don't think. I don't know if there's a guy out there that really is a game changer as far as, like, former coaches that won a cup, outside of maybe Quenneville, if they want to go down that road. But, you know, there is going to be some interesting names out there, assistants and college coaches, that I think are going to get some interest from teams that are looking to change up the mix. And we'll see which teams decide to make a move when the season ends.
That is certainly going to be interesting for sure. Greg, appreciate it as always, and we will talk to you next week.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Again, Old National Bank. Get old, and I'll always appreciate him.
You need to bring up the trade in the NFL. We talked about it last hour, but maybe this 10 o'clock hour didn't hear about it, because yeah. I'm reading more into it. I'm like, this is interesting.
We will revisit that coming up next. Also, continuing to watch some storms. Looks like the tornado warnings still going on to our east, so we'll keep you updated on that. Chase and Big Joe live from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.